Let us pray. Lord and Creator of every wondrous light of heaven, grant to us that light-giving spirit to understand your precepts, that we may meditate on all your works, the judgments, the victories, the captivities, the redemption, and catch the reflection of your loving kindness in every rising sun, in crystal frost and snow, in the summer night, in the glowing sea. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's Old Testament scripture is Psalm 8. If you'd like to follow along in the blue Bibles, turn to page 450. In the red Bible, please turn to page 571. You'll find Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
If you haven't already, go ahead and take your Bibles out and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. But before I read that, I want to read another piece of scripture. I want you to hear this. It's from Revelation 3. It says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. This is a reminder to us, I believe, that when we come to worship and we come to the reading of the Word, that it is a reminder that we need to be awake. We need to conscientiously be listening to the reading and preaching of the Word. Or worship has not been as full as it could be. And so listen carefully. As we read from Luke 18, beginning at verse 15, this is God's Word. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. There's a shift here from last week to this week. It almost seems disjointed. From prayer told in the context of a parable to a story based in reality about the kingdom of heaven. But I'd like to suggest that these, in fact, perfectly fit together. They are not disjointed in any way. They actually fit together. There's a parallel of this told in the Gospel of Mark. But in the Gospel of Mark, it talks about the children coming, but also talks about marriage and about property. But in Luke, it's just about children. And that may be because earlier in Luke, Luke already addressed the issue of marriage and divorce. Luke well may have had in mind a thematic connection between the present section and just a few verses before that we covered last week, verses 9 through 11. If so, he is reporting that according to the mind of Christ, it is not by means of boasting about one's good works, as did the Pharisee, remember, but by trustfully committing oneself to God and His love, like the tax collector from last week. Remember, the Pharisee says, "Oh, look at me, God, I'm so good." And the tax collector says, "Have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." Now, there's a connection here. We need to be careful here as a church, in the general sense, that we never discourage those longing to be close to Jesus because of our coldness. It's happened a time or two. A mature disciple of Jesus Christ is called to be an encourager of those seeking Him, even when we're not feeling it. A lot of times we're not. Not only are we called to encourage, but we should not fear when others seek Him. But we ourselves should be encouraged by their seeking, not threatened by it. In this passage, it is reported that there are babies coming to Jesus, and that there is a desire to just touch Him. Now, the disciples are not happy about this. And so they rebuke them. But the reason that they're not happy about this is they lived in a different day and age when people did have some sense of God's awesome power, His holiness, His mightiness. They were not confused. They did not think God was their buddy that they gave high fives to. They knew He was holy and to be feared. So they incorrectly reasoned from that truth, and that all that is true, and God still is holy and mighty and powerful today. But they illogically conclude that that means that children should not be able to come to Jesus. But I want to suggest to you that that's the whole point of the incarnation, is the revealing, the making known, the coming near of God to His people. And children are part of His people. It couldn't be any more clear from this. Jesus is saying, do not hinder the little children, the infants, actually is the word, because thus is the kingdom of God. That is, you adults, you want to long for what looks like the kingdom of God? Just look at covenant children. Look at the faith that they have, the nature of the faith that they have. It doesn't mean children don't question, but they question different than adults do, don't they? They question in faith. We question in skepticism. They don't know that yet. And Jesus is saying we should all be a little bit more like that. We have questions, fine, but ask those questions in faith. What does this faith look like? At its core, it's simple trust. It's a faith that doesn't need to have an explanation for everything. Because we know that the only one that is all-knowing is God Himself. We are not. We never will be. We don't even know ourselves that well. He does, thank the Lord. Jesus, in a sense, is saying, I save infants the same way that I save adults, and that is by the precious blood of the Lamb. And that does not involve your good works. It can't. Your good works are involved when you come to Christ. They're commanded. But they aren't the basis of your salvation. That was the whole message last week. And here, indirectly, it's popping up clearly. This teaches us something about Jesus' attitude about children, doesn't it? And it teaches us not only is He eager to welcome them, which He is, but He is more than that. He went after them. Jesus is not in the synagogue. They didn't put a banner outside the church, "We love children and families." And so they came. Jesus is on the move with the kingdom of God. He is outside the, quote, church walls. He is on the streets. He's in people's homes. He's wherever He can be to announce the kingdom of God. He does not wait for children to come to Him. The church, the early church, did not wait for people to come to them. They went to the people. And Jesus, you know, how do you welcome? How do we welcome? Today, how do we welcome? In the 1950s, we could probably have welcomed by putting a banner outside, "We welcome children and young families and some more to come." Those days are long since buried. It doesn't work that way by and large anymore. The only way that we can welcome children like Jesus is teaching us to do here is to go. In fact, that's the only way we're going to reach a vast majority of anyone. If, in fact, we're going to reach anyone, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go to specific people. You are going to have to go. I am going to have to go. We are going to have to go to specific people to develop relationships. Jesus is teaching us that this especially includes children. I believe He's teaching us that children are an integral part of the body of Christ. Not because they're cute, but because they teach us the nature of faith. He's speaking about this earlier in Luke. He said in Luke 9, just to remind us, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." A church that is not friendly towards children is in trouble. Jesus says this. He says it. Jesus is a straight shooter. He says, look, if you're not going to welcome these children, forget about it. You're going to die. That's what He says. You're going to die. You're going to perish. You're not going to have the kingdom of heaven. You're going to die. Now He's saying this to His disciples as a group. He's saying this to the church. So how do we welcome children? I want to suggest to you, welcoming children is not accomplished primarily by having a Christian Ed committee or a children's ministry director. It is not accomplished by putting those words in some mission statement that no one pays attention to. It is not accomplished by us having conversations from adult to adult. I'm so glad we have a church that loves children. It is not accomplished by talking about children. It is accomplished by loving children. This is not rocket science. Not everyone is called to formal children's ministry. I get that. But do you know the children that are among us today? I know we want more children. What about the ones God's already given to us? How are we doing? You think God's going to send us more if we're not doing a good job with the ones He's already given us? Do you understand that the children that are here among us today bear the image of God? They are loved by Him. Are they loved by us? As I said, that doesn't mean all of us are called a specific children's ministry, but do we acknowledge their presence? Do we understand their presence is a gift and not a hassle? Although sometimes it can be challenging. Now, look, every church in the face of the earth thinks they're friendly. But not all of them are. When I came to Christ, I was visiting several churches, and almost all the churches I visited were absolutely unfriendly. And churches for weeks never acknowledged my presence. We think the same thing about children. Every church welcomes children. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, we've got to have more children. Wouldn't it be great if, like it was in the 1960s, we had more children scurrying around? And, you know, because then it was just, you know, apple pie. And, I mean, it was just the glory days. Right? Do you ever wonder why those children left? Do you wonder why you went from 100 children to 6? Actually, we have more than 6, but... And sometimes we forget that. We think, gosh, we need more children because we don't have any. And they're right here in front of us, right now. My first call as a church, if I would have asked them, how many of you think we welcome children? They all would have raised their hand. Oh, yes, we welcome children. And one Sunday, in worship, one of those people that would have raised their hand and said that came and told Jenny Lexi had been dancing in worship. I don't know. She doesn't do that anymore. You could. It'd be okay. She was dancing in worship, and the woman comes up to Jenny and says, "We don't do that here." That is hateful. There's no other way to put that. First of all, dancing in worship is thoroughly biblical. I wish it wasn't. I wish it wasn't. But it is. But they all would have raised their hand. Would you all raise your hand? Yeah, we welcome children. How many of the kids do you know the names of? How many have you talked to in the last month about something going on in their life? Or just said hello to, looked at them and said hello? We have an issue here. There's no doubt about that. We have a nursery that regularly is not filled. I don't mean with kids. There are kids that want to be in the nursery, but we don't have people willing to serve there. That's not going to go on very long, I can tell you. There is a limited amount of time that can take place. before we have people willing to serve and no kids to serve. I'm not trying to guilt you into doing something that you're not called to do. That's not the point. But we have to ask ourselves some questions about that. And we had an opportunity. This is a thing that you could do even if you didn't feel especially called to minister to children. And we had the parade outreach to invite families to come to Awana. And I don't know, would we have 2 people, 3 people? We could have all been there. I mean, a few exceptions. Some people weren't here. That's understandable. You know how many more families we could have reached if we want to say we were going to welcome children? How many things were more important to you than reaching children with the gospel of Jesus Christ that day? I can't answer that for you. I can't say you were wrong or did the wrong thing. I just want you to think about that in light of this passage where Jesus is modeling the importance of welcoming children. How are the ways that we can welcome children? What are they? And so there are just two basic points in this passage. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's challenging, but it's simple. How are we doing trusting God totally? I don't mean in regards to children. Remember, children are... See, we think that children are here so that we can train them in the way that they should go. And that is part of what our responsibility certainly is. But Jesus is teaching us that the other half of that is so that they can encourage us in God-like faith. Godly faith, rather. And I'm pretty safe to say we all struggle with trusting God totally. And then the second question is, how are we doing welcoming children and their parents? And I have parents here because, and I'm thankful. I don't think this is our major issue. I thank God for that. But I've been in places where children are sitting in the pew. They're 3 years old. Mothers are pulling their hair out. They won't sit still. They're making noise. And sometimes we kind of like, my goodness, why are they here? Right? I thank God I've never heard that. If you've thought that, you know, that's just between you and God. I can tell you just need to repent. Right? And give thanks to God for the noise. Because the alternative is death. And I just close with this pleading from the Lord, that we may each reflect on this challenging message that the Lord has brought to us today. To the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.